Diego Ortega from the University of Barcelona. He's visiting us for the week. And he has been working on a very topic of interest, which is on the boundary of feminist matter and he's looking at the continent and in spin chains, how it relates to information and various properties among all time in the system. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Pues es bastante perimetrísimo to let me present here my work, which is the basis of my thesis. I hope to finish in some months. So, as he told, I'm in Universidad de Barcelona. And the work that I will try to describe at least for this whole paper that can be summed in three different words. The first two papers, in collaboration with Felipe Alex Pitaez in Caltech, my supervisor, Sina Fiolatore, in the University of Barcelona. And he's talking about entanglement in quantum critical phenomena and spin chains. The third paper is with Lutgen in Oslo, my supervisor again on Vidal in Caltech, and it's the relation of entanglement in algae flows in the system, again, from these spin systems, and algae in this kind of system. You can describe that with quantum information tools as the transformation tools that you use. And the last work I will try to present here is a collaboration with the group of Tirac in Munich, Bertaete, Tirac and work in Munich, my supervisor in Barcelona and myself, working with properties of one kind of states of formalism to write some state that is called a matrix product state. I will try to describe this kind of formalism and describe the properties. So, okay, so more or less here is the outline of my talk. First, an introduction and motivation why I study all this stuff and why the interplay between quantum information and quantum matter that can be really fruitful. The third part of my talk, so the two papers I mentioned, is the entanglement in quantum spin in models. I will present the spin models I will treat, that are the Heisenberg and the X-Well model. Analysis there of the ground state entanglement, and we will fix the measure of entanglement that will be the entropy, the phenomenon entropy, of L spins, or if you think in the whole chain of spins, just trace everything as L spins, and you get the entanglement there, and analyze, and then you analyze the scaling properties of this measurement of entanglement. And the final two points in this work is the connection with high energy dimensions, and conformal theory to try to understand why happened these scaling properties that are facing this entanglement dimension. The second point is the relation between algae flows and entanglement loss. So can we describe algae transformation with quantum information tools with the entropies of my or another tool coming from quantum information at this visualization? And in fact, could be this the case. The last part is on this matrix for the state, definition and some properties. And the fixed point doing a scale transformation with this kind of formalism, finalism conclusions. Okay. Motivation for looking at this interplay between quantum matter system and quantum information. What we are looking for is always a one-dimensional system, usually a spin chain, where the spin interact to first neighborhoods. And we have we want to have the thermodynamical limits, so infinite chains. And we usually restrict our attention to all of them and compute there some entanglement properties. Why to compute some entanglement properties or quantum correlation properties? Why study that? The main point here is that the correlation in this system can have two different behaviors. Usually, one is an exponential suppressed of correlation that you say that it's a finite correlation system. And the other is that all the correlation they get like a polynomial, then to an analytical point or in a phase transition. This behavior happens in classical systems, where you tune your template to the typical point, and then the correlation then in your classical system behaves in this way. But what's going on here is that here the temperature is zero, plays no role in the full analysis of our system. So all these correlations can only be due to entanglement and quantum correlations in the ground zero. One thing I forgot to mention is that we have some Hamiltonian there, and we are always in the ground state of our Hamiltonian. And this correlation has the correlation to the ground state. Okay. So that's why a study with quantum information do that, the field of quantum correlations, it is this property. And then, as I mentioned, so we fix our attention to a spin of the thermodynamical change, and we compute some quantum information entanglement method, like the entropy, or if there is some majorization relation between different states in the change for a given model. Just to point which are the methods I'm going to use, is because always we are in the ground state, and we are always doing partitions, we have some subsystems we are taking care and the rest we are pacing out. The first measurement of entanglement, of course, is the Smith rank, that measures the how mixed is your given subsystem. So as bigger the Smith rank, the more mixed the system you are taking care, so it's the more entangled with the rest of the universe. A quantitative way of saying this is with the entropy of entanglement, just the polynomial entropy of your reduced density matrix, that we know that for pure state is a entanglement measure. Okay. This was pointed out by many collaborators. And the final thing is the majorization relation, as I thought, is that this is an ordered relation. The entropy relation already fix an order relation between different states. And say if one state is more ordered, it's than the other state. But there is a big percentage of order coming from majorization relation, and this majorization relation I will describe what I will use it. But this is another tool of quantum information that I will use during this work. Okay. So now we come to the first word, spin change, and I will try to describe the model we are using. We have some Hamiltonian of this spin change, we get the ground state, and we compute some entanglement properties. The first model we study, usually we study just exactly the bubble model, because from this model we can extract the ground state and the ground state properties. It's the Heisenberg model. It's just a model that interacts with Fresnel molecules in the x y plane of the space with no anisotropy and some anisotropy in the z direction. And maybe you can have some magnetic field as well in the z direction of the space of the space. All these three components that for h zero, h one, and h two, they commute. And this is an important property that is used in the better answer to get the solution of the fourth model, the rotational symmetry about the set axis. So the commutation of this term. And the other property in here is the translational invariance of the binary number of lattice spacing of my ground state. So because of these two properties, I know that the ferromagnet state, so all the spins pointing in the set direction, is a ground state of my Hamiltonian. And from there, I can extract the whole spectrum or the whole ground state that I change my quantity, my magnetic field of my anisotropy, just lowering some spins in a translational invariant way. This is the better answer. So for fixed ideas, imagine that the anisotropy is equal to 1, so they interact the whole sphere in the fixed way, the sphere in a isotropic way, and the magnetic field fixed to 0. So the total spin of my chain will be 0, if it will be in the major state. As I increase the magnetic field, here is just in the magnetic field, states coming with a different total spin will come here and will cross, and we are changing the ground. So we can fix. We can go through all this direction and get the ground state of my system. Okay. So I have my ground state at any point of the value of the anisotropy in the magnetic field. The second model is the XY model that can be exactly diagonalized again, it's inconceivable due to Julia Schultz and Matisse of 1961 writing this Hamiltonian in the spinless fermions operator. How did it go? These spinless fermions, they appear here, after three canonical transformations. So initially, again, we have the one-dimensional spinning chain, then there are inverse neighborhood in the plane of the x and the x and y plane of the x field, and some magnetic field in the same direction. If we do this Jordan-Bichner transformation, what we are transforming is the whole spin chain in a system of a spinless fermion that is still in the coordinate space. Okay? So this Jordan-Bichner transformation is giving me the same system, but instead of having a spin, spin system is a spinless fermion. Because I know that it's a Hadron invariant, I can do a Fourier transformation, almost diagonalize my Hamiltonian. What I want to do is diagonalize the Hamiltonian to the Bedron state. Okay? So now I do the Fourier transformation, and I almost have the completely diagonal my Hamiltonian, but now it's in the momentum in the space representation, and there are some mixing of some modes that can be diagonalized with the finally convoluted transformation. So my final system is a spinless chain, one-dimensional chain of non-interacting fermions. Here it goes. So it's the spin chain. After this three transformation, I obtain a Hamiltonian of non-interactive system in the momentum space representation, with some energy and some population of the of the modes. But the modes don't interact between them. And I can go to the thermodynamical limit. So effectively, my chain is infinite. Okay? This is nothing but a low energy dispersion of the energy. So I will describe a bit what is the energy dispersion of this thing. That appears in the English word. So this is dispersion relation here, and depending on the magnetic field on the anisotropy of the model, has different shapes for the modes. So here it's plotting the dispersion relation. The low energy behavior sitting in the Fermi point, these are the Fermi points in the theory. You just do a low energy expansion, and you get a relativistic dispersion relation with some mass and some kinetic part. And some against a spinless fermion. In the XX model, you have two Fermi points, so we'll appear two modes that in the free theory language they are called left and right handed. They are fermionic modes. In the easy model, that is pretty good here, it's just that there is one Fermi point and there is just one mode that appears in the low energy expansion. This will be interesting in the analysis of the scale of the internal. And another point here is that just because of the expression relation is to see what are the critical zones or critical regions in the whole space of magnetic field and anisotropy. The critical point is when this mass that appears here goes to say this is exactly in this line here with it's called the critical axis model for magnetic fields that go from 0 to 1. And the typical X-Y range that goes in the anisotropy from 0 to 1 and magnetic field equal to 1. This is when the mass gap, so the amount of energy I have to give to the system to create an excitation goes to 0. You say that you are in a critical point. Okay? And these are the zones that regions are included. So, as I found there, in this critical region, the correlation is a long-range correlation, and initially, it's that in other regions, I am going to fix my attention with these quantum information groups in this critical XX line and in this critical XY line. As well, I will fix my attention in this critical missing line to see how it departures the behavior of this of the entropy when I'm going away from a critical point. So this three lines in here, the blue, the green, and this red line, they are the critical regions I will start. But first of all, I have to get the ground state of the system, and as this appears, it's just like harmonic oscillators of epidemic mode. So it's just the population of every mode has a good zero. The ground state of the system is annihilated by the annihilation operator. This defines the ground state by definition of my system. And because there are no iterative modes, the total wave function is just the tensor product of every of the modes with the population of every of the modes. Getting that in the wave function or the density matrix of my the whole infinite spin chain, I can go back to the coordinate representation as I'm doing the Fourier transform, the logarithmic transformation and Fourier transformation. And there, in the coordinate space, when I can trace L spins and see for the scaling properties of the planet. Another point here is that these systems are Gaussians. So any point function can be displayed by just the two-point function, the concatenation of two-point function. And this means that, and this property holds, although I trace n minus l spin from the whole chain. So this property means that my whole density matrix after tracing l spins can be decomposed in some modes in the same way as has been done with the ground state. So I trace almost the result of the chain except L, I can still define some new modes and define the life to my wave function in this way. This was pointed out by Petchen in 2002. So a roadmap for what we did in this work is starting from some Hamiltonian in the spin space, go to the Jordan Bigner and Fourier to the spinless representation, get the ground state there, get the correlation function here, go to the coordinate space, trace L spins there, and now study the correlation, the quantum correlation properties of time unit properties. And this is what we find. This is just a sketch, what I'm going to explain a bit in more details step by step in these different regions. I told you the critical line, XY line, and the AC line. But this is just the entropy of 100 spins from an infinite chain. And you see, just from the shape of the entropy, that characterize completely the critical properties of the models. Okay, so we're going step by step in this line that in these regions I told you. Starting from the XS model, we know that it's critical from the whole range of the magnetic field from 0 to 1. The leading order in the entropy of L spins, we are always in an infinite chain. We take L of them and we compute the entropy. This is the cause I'm talking here, the different curve from different magnetic fields. So the leading order here is just a log of the length of how many spins are happening in my subsystem. And there is some coefficient there that doesn't depend at all on the complete definition of my Hamiltonian. This coefficient is a universal coefficient. We will relate that later with some theories, that formal theories. If we increase the magnetic field, there are some logarithmic corrections that is in this way. So it can be seen that the magnetic field is a marginal operator in the critical properties. That introduces logarithmic corrections. So the leading order is some universal coefficient, the log of the dimension of the system. This is in the critical, because the whole critical, the whole XX line is critical. Then. In the XY model, in the red line, that is also critical. Again, there is an universal coefficient that log of the number of spin I have in my subsystem. Some correction with the anisotropy that goes in this way. This is for the correction in anisotropy. Okay. And this is for the line I told you about the AC model, how they function from the side. There, in this line, there is just one point that is critical, is where the magnetic field is equal to one. And then the entropy flows unbounded with this logarithmic behavior and showing universal coefficient that is 1.6. And it's unbounded as in the rest of the critical, not the critical regions. But as we depart from the critical point, there are some plateaus that define some correlation length. And from this correlation length, the entropy saturates. Okay. So in the critical point, the final point to stress in here is that in the critical point, the entropy grows unbounded with some universal coefficient And while you are the part of the wave from the from this integral point, the entropy is a very few some mass scale or some correlation. And here is how approach this the easing line, how you are approaching the critical point, how behaves with the magnetic field, because this is just changing the magnetic field. And this change just with the logarithmic area. But these results were we got it in numerical, but after our work, you know, with topless determinant. And Petzl, with Cornell transformatics, managed to get all these results in an analytical way. And finally, as I mentioned, in the Hessel-Bell model, so what we have obtained probably in the leading behavior is just some universal coefficient, one-third of the log of the number of spins. This is for change the dimension of the whole change. This is just changing the magnetic field, and this is just changing the anisotropy. But as you see, all these lines have some linear order that in case in the Hessel-Bell model we can go just some like 20 spins. But although we have some like 20 spins, we can get just already the leading behavior in the end. Okay. So I will try to sketch or to explain why all the two features that we have shown till now, that's this universal coefficient that appears in the system that doesn't depend on the complete details of the Hamiltonians. And why this function the log with the dimension with the numbers of spin that we are keeping in our solar system. So to try to explain this log behavior, we have to go to field theory higher dimensions. And one of the first works that fixed the attention in the entropy in field theory was a numerical work done by Slonik in the 93, where he got a clean Gordon model, he put it in a lattice, in a three-dimensional system, and he did more or less that he took some ball from this 3D lattice, and he made this neat decomposition between the inside mode and the outside mode, and concluded that the entropy of this inside mode is respective to the rest of the universe. Working forward, he did it with a massless Hamiltonian, so this part in here it will be zero to mass. He called this first line here, just that the entropy goes with the area that is serving the box subsystem. You can plug a master in the Klein-Gordon model, and you will obtain the same behavior, the growth of the entropy with the area that is serving the box subsystem. And the way he explained was a really nice way to explain this picture. We know that the Smith decomposition between inside and outside are the same for both the Smith numbers. So the entropy of both the inside and outside modes, we see our system from the inside and from the outside, the entropy will be the same. If there is some property, geometrical property, that depends in the entropy, the only geometrical property that can depend because of this property is the geometrical property that are served by both. But the only property that is served by both subsystems is just the boundary of the area or the area between both subsystems. So in three dimensions, go with the area, and in the dimension, go with R, with the dimension one minus the dimension. What's happening in dimension one, like in the spin models, is that the behavior of the entropy flows sublinear with the length of you are considering. So that's why we obtain the log behavior with the length you consider in the spin chain. Similar results or studies were done by Kabat, Strassler, and Bombelli. And so more or less we understand why we obtain the log behavior in the growth of the entropy. Now we want to understand why this coefficient appears there, and since it doesn't depend on the Hamiltonian in the threshold Hamiltonian. In the critical points, the system is translational invariant by definition, but also is scale invariant, and in one dimension is invariant in the four conformal group. has some coefficients that determines the universality or the behavior, the general behaviors of your system. It's called the central charge. Okay. So what the two groups, Winchell Kalan falls in a large in 94, and after our work, calibration carbon made with any astral conformal theory, is getting the entropy relation in this critical form. And depends within logarithmic behavior, and this is that I point to here, just the central charge that describes the universality of your model. So that's what we obtain in the Heisenberg and the X-Y model. The central charge is equal to 1. In the Ising model, the central charge is equal to 1/2. That's what we obtain, the 1 over 6 in the Ising model and 1 over 3 in the X, in the Heisenberg and the X model. Another thing that I want to point out here is that the central charge as well count the numbers of degrees of freedom in your theory. As I mentioned, in the low energy dispersion relation of the XY model, we have an AC model just one fermionic mode, because we have just one fermi point. But in the XX model, we have two fermionic modes, the left and right handed. So it's a theory of two fermionic modes. So that's why we obtain the total temporal charge is equal to 1, because it's composed by two species of fermionic system. Okay. So here is the first part of the work, how is the scaling behavior of correlations of quantum correlation of the entanglement in a critical condensed matter system and outside the how do you depart from the critical points. The next thing is how really this departure goes in RG flows. In RG flows, you start from some point that is close to these critical points, and you start to do a scale transformation. A scale transformation is nothing but by changing your scale to point of view. You have your one dimensional change, and you know all the details of your system. And a scale transformation means that you depart from this all the details of your system, and you are starting to integrate out higher nodes. So the details of your system, you are losing all these details. This is RG transformation. And these are the flows that is going you away from the critical points. So we want to characterize these flows in the Hamiltonian by quantum information flows, if this is possible. And then to describe what is an RG flow, I choose the Heisenberg model, because I think it's the most easiest way to explain it here. Again, as we saw in the XY model, the EC model is just one part of this XY model, that is just one fermionic mode with some mass. This thing is the lattice spaces that I have introduced now to this scale transformation. And this is the kinetic part, that's just the modes and some velocity there. Okay, so there are two points that in any active transformation has to be done. First, in the lesson of higher energy modes, so you lose the core ready, you lose the details of the theory, and after that, the rescaling of the parameters. In the case of higher energy modes, in this case of theories, is quite simple. Because they are Gaussian theories, and they are the high energy modes don't interact with the low energy modes. So the integration of high energy modes is just a constant depth in the partition function, something that you can forget. All the characteristics in the RG transformation here coming from the rescaling of parameters. A rescaling of parameters is, as I told you, in describing your system in another perspective. So it's changing your lattice spacing by some factor, by say scale factor. You are changing your point of view. You change your from A, that initially you measure everything by this unit of length, by some unit of length that is smaller. If you plug in this transformation in the Hamiltonian, is the same effect as if you change as if you increase the mass in your theory. Okay? You plug it in the same effect. Okay. That's one of the points, that the massless theory is a scale invariant theory. Because if we change the scale of our theory, there is no mass term and there is no contribution from this term. But in massive theories, then the mass of your theory is increasing. Okay. In the AC model, we know the ground state in any point of our of the parameters of the magnetic field, okay? Because it's an established survival model. So what we are doing here is just capture what is the RB transformation doing in my model. That is nothing by increasing the magnetic field in a differential form, the changing of the lattice spacing going this way, and the changing of the mass is just the changing of the magnetic field, okay? So do RB transformation in existing model means is exactly the same thing as changing the magnetic field in your system. Because it's exactly solvable, we know the ground state at any point of our magnetic field, okay? So we can describe our ground state at any point in the RG flow. And this is a plot of the entropy as we go away from the critical line, from the critical point. The critical point, as I point, is in the magnetic field equal to 1. As you start to do RG transformation, you are going away from there. As you are making a scale transformation, your mass is growing, and your entropy is decreasing till zero. Okay, so there is an entanglement loss in RG transformation.
So why are there two curves there?
Ah, good question. Because in the easing point here, when the magnetic field goes to zero, it's just the this term happens in this Hamiltonian, it just is turning here. Lambda equal to 1 magnetic field point. If the magnetic field is equal to 0, there are two vacuums that minimize this energy. It's all the spin pointing up or all the spin pointing down. Okay? If you do all the calculations, you don't select any of the vacuum, you are in a complete limit of these two values. All up, plus all down. But if in this Hamiltonian you plug any infinitesimal epsilon term of any 24, any operator there, you do all these calculations. And after that, you put your epsilon to zero. After all the calculations, you put the epsilon to zero. Then the ground state, the final ground state of your system is one of these. Call it up or call it down. For example, down. Okay. So any perturbation in your theory, select one of the vacuums. That's the these lines in here. We put a small perturbation in our theory. If you put a small perturbation into your theory, it's not exactly solvable anymore. And these points are numerical. All these points are with all the canonical transformation as I mentioned before, and this is exactly solvable.
So that perturbation, you don't get it around to zero. It doesn't go exactly zero.
This one?
Yeah,
it stays. This is a GX state.
Yes.
So the final entropy is equal to 1.
No, as you increase, as you go to the margin flow.
In here?
Yes, it goes to 0, or there is no final
value? No, it goes to 0. It's like increasing the magnetic field, and you end up in the total ferromagnetic state. Okay?
So your length doesn't, you're not renormalizing your length, you keep it.
Yeah,
just changing the resistance when it's small. But wouldn't you expect to see it as if there's just one that's active, there's just one spin? I mean, when you go all the way, wouldn't it just be as if there's just one spin sitting in this block size of
one
spin? I mean, in this day, I think we like
yeah, but a pure state. Of a ferromagnetic.
Aha, you think the whole thing is pure?
No, this all. And RB transformation always is in a pure state, eh?
The whole thing is in pure.
Sure.
Including inside and outside.
Yeah.
Right, so inside, shouldn't it be still in some small entanglement?
because at the end, you have a pure state, your whole universe, and all the spins pointing up. And there is no correlation at all. Okay? So about this entanglement loss of our energy flows, there is a first theorem that says that this has to happen, and this is the C theorem by Samaranch-Stoll. And this is a direct consequence of conformal invariant one-dimensional system. This C theorem tells us that any and under any Hartree transformation, you are going to flow. Imagine your space of Hamiltonians. So any space of Hamiltonian in 1 plus 1 dimension. You have some points that are scaling back. Okay. Some logic told us that under any Hartree transformation you are going to flow from a critical point to another critical point, where the critical point of the ultraviolet theory, where you know all the details of the theory, is always greater than the central chance of the entanglement in the infrared theory. This is what I'm going to do. As we know how big takes the entropy along in our critical points, we know that the entanglement in the ultraviolet theory, when we know all the details of our theory, is always greater than the infrared theory. And this is the case, for example, in the Ising case, that we are flowing from the critical Ising point to a totally massive theory where there is no correlation at all. Okay. Now the point is that this decrease of entanglement is monotonic under the article, and can be described by this entropy as we plot it here. As we flow in the Hartree flow, our entropy is decreasing monotonically and then step by step under the Hartree transformation. Okay. So now the point of ordering with the entropy. Entropy dictates an order between the different states. Okay, so now we have some state that has some entropy. Let me call it. We have some state that has an entanglement that is greater than the entanglement under an origin of this thing. Okay? So this is, we are detecting an ordering between different states. And this coming because of the entropy. Because the entropy of rho in here is always greater than the entropy of rho prime we see in this flow here. But this ordering has a deeper meaning. It's just this, or there is a deeper meaning of ordering in this relation coming by majorization. So can we say that string 5 is less order than this qualified prime? And this is what we studied in the what we call it fine grained loss of entanglement. First, to sketch what are these polarization relation, is an order relation. You have two probability distribution. One is minorized P, is minorized by Q, or Q is minorized by P. If P can be obtained by just mixing the probability distribution of Q. Mixing is just a double stochastic matrix or permutation, a convex combination of permutation of the entries in your probability distribution. This is the definition of majorization. These two definitions are equivalent to this other here. So if you order this probability distribution P and Q in a descending order, if all these towers of inequality holds, then you can say that P is minorized by Q. So P is less order than Q. And now what we found in our numerical analysis is that in the whole XY model is in they are Gaussian theories are in there, so they are not in the Hartree theory. The wave function before doing any Hartree transformation is less order than the wave function after doing any Hartree transformation. And then entropy, the decreasing of the entropy is just a consequence of this order, of this deep sense of ordering. How we did this is because, as I told you, this density matrix can be written as a tensor product of different nodes for the different length of your system, different magnetic field and different entropies. And the density matrix just appears like an exponential or some dispersion relation. These are given by tensor. If you have just the density matrix for the different nodes, you can compute that the change in the isotropy and the magnetic field and the Hartree transformation, there are some majorization relations, there are some double stochastic matrices that relates both density matrices for every problem, every mode. And if there is some double stochastic matrix for every move, then the whole wave function can be derived by a majorization relation. So this is the last part of the second work, where we relate a new transformation with what can be described with quantum information tools like entropy again and majorization relations. And the final part of the talk I want to describe is just this formalism of writing this matrix product state of writing a one-dimensional spin chain or just a register in quantum computing science. So you have some registers of qubits there. Matrix product state appears in this way. You start to split the composition between the first register and the other end register. You compute the symmetric composition, you make a change of basis, a 2D change of basis, and the Smith numbers, you call it A. This is a matrix for some register in one and the rest of the chain. You will start to do the same thing with the second register, you will end up with another matrix A for the second register and the rest of the chain, and so on and so forth. At the end, the whole register is translational invariant and has periodic boundary conditions. You can write your wave function as a product of matrices. That's why matrix product state for every of the states in your spin chain. And the good thing about this thing is that if this is translational invariant, this means that these states are the same for any point in the spin chain. So it's an efficient way to describe the wave function by spin chain of a one-dimensional system, for example. Again, as I told you, you describe your system by one matrix for every point in your lattice. Another way to see this matrix is a dividing system. Is that coming by the balanced form picture? This is by condensed matter, was done by Affleck, Kennedy, Lieff, and Tassac in the 80s. So the thing is just for every lattice size in your system, you take two ancillas and make some projection in the physical Hilbert space you want to describe. But this ancilla you have in your lattice size, you link with the neighbor side with some twistling, whatever link, okay? And you do this projection. So this projection from the divide the system Hilbert space to another lower D, just this A, and it's just the description of your system in this binary bond picture. Properties of this that can be just by definition of this formalism. So the first one is just relational invariant. This is relational invariant, all your A's are the same. The second thing is the entropy area law in the binary bond picture. Here I picture in the 1D case, but if you make the same formalism in a 2D, in a plane or whatsoever. So for every lattice side, I put four ancillas and I link with the neighbor side. I make some projection. And the same thing for any of the other, in this way. If you make now you compute the entropy of some given subsystem with respect to the rest of the universe, the only thing you have to compute is the entropy that comes from the cutting of the links you are doing here. So just for free, just for the by definition, the entropy area law in any higher dimensional system can be this matrix product state formalism. Another point is that they are optimal to minimize energy in one-dimensional system with the emergent method. You can get the energies of 10 to the minus 15 of the true ground state energy. And the final thing is a simple way to obtain any expectation value with this formality. And this is the point I'm going to explain to do a scale transformation with matrix for the state. So having again your spin one-dimensional spin system, you have some side I, some side J where you want to compute some operators, so I or J. The way to compute this matrix product state is just having just some transfer matrix in that can be to a DF definition with this matrix states with the matrices, and some operator called theta that by definition are given in this way. So the only thing you have to do is just a trace like in a classical model, some transfer matrices with some operators in the position you want to compute. And in this way, you compute the, any expectation value you want to do.
This is the expectation value is
plot? Pardon?
This is, a, this is true that for
for any operator who I own it.
So as long as that expectation value of the country is a product expectation, is true with two sides. I mean, some
thing that you think in this age, like the transfer matrices, any other expectation value of I, OJ, OK. If you take my definitions here, you plug in any other points of the lattice, this transfer matrix, in, then the O tilde in I, all the rest transfer matrices, and I know how to compute I minus something. Okay. OJ tilde the position J, transfer matrices, and OK, and do the trace. So this neural side, this is I, this is J, this is K, and in all the rest you plug these transfer matrices. And in here, to plug the O's.
I guess one is if the O's are not just IJs, but are really something global, then it's
less
correlation. Just correlation, like
this is a correlation.
Okay, no, but these are variables that are local, with products of local things. So I guess we'll use the example. OI, OJ plus O.
Of course, it's
a variable plus three. But, any global observables. So I'm not an icing chain with a global observable community because I'm an icing chain or anything as well. I don't want to be global. Trouble spinning. Okay, trouble spinning the whole thing.
Well, the kind of thing you know that you can, because they are the last one in budget, you can compute as the spin off of how we set.
Just because of the translation of that, it's just.
Okay. And just because we can define a transfer matrix in a classical way, in the same way we can do a scale transformation a la Kalabnovich form. So having initially the one we say, you have some transfer matrix that relates every point in here, making a scale transformation a la Kalabnovich, take a block spins, for example, two of them, and define here a new transfer matrix. So this define a new spin here, we define a new spin here, we define a new spin here. Finally, define here, we define a new transfer matrix that relates a subsystem, the different subsystem in the lattice. And this is what we did here. That's the transfer matrix. For every point, we define a new A prime, that is the product of both of them, that can be decomposed this way. And any time this transfer matrix is exactly the same as the initial one, then there are fixed points, and we have characterized with the group of unit the fixed point that appears in some cases with this transfer matrix, with this matrix called the state. So finally, the conclusion is that the first part of my talk, that just the universal scaling of entanglement in 1+1 dimensional system, and this universality is controlled by conformal symmetry, we see that away from critical point, the entanglement is at least to some plateau by some mass scale or correlation length. Some point that I haven't mentioned, but can be easily understood after our analysis, is the energy density of this variational method, density matrix organization group, fails in higher dimension. About the second part of my talk is that the entanglement is not increasing under any active transformation. And maybe the relation between majorization and shift functions that characterize the active flow. And the final is the description of real space adding transformations with this matrix for the test. That's all.
I'm confused about the initial definition of entanglement versus that of entropy in the light that going to talk about systemic, which had a well-defined critical point, which had an exact solution in one extra dimension, where the entity is normally an exact solution, for example, the Eisenmodel in one plus one dimension, mm-hmm. US has an exact solution, and it's a critical point there, which is well very driving, and the entity would have sort of the scaling, this love behavior. And so I'm not sure, are you moving back and forth between entanglement and entropy, or is there...
No, the entropy is the quantum entropy, the polynomial entropy. Maybe the confusion here is in the mapping that there is between a classical, a two-dimensional classical system and one-dimensional quantum system you're mentioning, that they